Wednesday, July 6th, 2022. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. I hope your week is going well. Hope you, your family, your friends, hope everyone in your world is staying strong and healthy. And here in the United States of America, we actually just got done celebrating the 4th of July, which is the day that we celebrate our independence from England. And the way that we celebrate that is by, well, mostly eating way better food than they have over there. And yes, sometimes we blow our own fingers off with mostly illegal fireworks. But wherever you are listening to us today, I hope you had a safe, a happy weekend. Of course, July 4th is also a little bit of a reminder that the summer is now halfway done. I mean, it's kind of depressing to think about it that way, but you basically have another month, month and a half to enjoy your summer. And then it will be, you know, back to school, back to cooler temperatures. So if you are struggling a little bit right now, getting that beach body ready, I mean, honestly, you just got to stall for another 30, 40 days, and you won't have to worry about it until next year. In the meantime, remember, and I cannot stress this to everyone listening out there enough, dress for the body you have, not for the body that you want. That, my friends, is key. No matter what social media tells you, no matter what lies they try to give you, dress for the body you have, not the one that you want. Hey, before we do jump in today, I just want to remind you, make sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com, where we have new articles going up every week. We have links to the podcast. We have links to the YouTube video. Yes, we even have links to Daily Dose gear. Maybe you need a t-shirt. Maybe you need a sweatshirt. Maybe you need a coffee mug. Whatever might be on your agenda, just stop by DailyDoseSports.com and you can find a link to exactly what you need. If you checked in this week at DailyDoseSports.com, you saw that I kind of took a look at what some of the local teams are doing. The Colorado Avalanche just won the Stanley Cup. Now, they've got some free agency things to deal with. The Denver Nuggets are making some moves. We're going to talk about that here in just a few minutes. And then the Colorado Rockies, well, they're kind of doing their own thing, but make sure you stop by DailyDoseSports.com and check out what is going on over there each and every week. Hey, today on the show, we do have something a little bit different for you. We're going to talk a little bit of sports news, but then, like I just mentioned, it was Independence Day here in America on Monday. And I know that we crazy Americans, we get a lot of things wrong. We can be loud. We can be obnoxious. We eat too much. We really enjoy shooting guns at one another. And we enjoy sticking our noses into other people's business around the world. We have strife within our own country. We don't always get along with each other. We don't always play well with others. And yet, when things go bad, we are usually the very first phone call that the rest of the world makes trying to get some help. We also have a long line of people waiting to get in, so we must be doing something right. Today, we are going to be flashing back to some previous episodes of The Daily Dose and talking about some of the greatest athletes in America's history. But before we get to that, we want to jump into a little bit of sports news. You know, we have officially hit the dry season in the world of sports. I mean, football won't be starting for what? Another 28, 29 days? But I mean, who's counting, right? But college hoops is now done. The NBA is over. The NHL is complete. Right now, it is Major League Baseball, maybe some golf or tennis, some auto racing. Very little else is going on right now. Fortunately, we do have NBA free agency going right now. Not that it gives us any events to actually watch, but it does at least give us a reason to look at sports news for the next month or so. Now, one of the earliest moves in free agency was something that we predicted when the New York Knicks grabbed former Dallas Mavericks guard Jalen Brunson so fast that it looks like they're most likely going to be hit with tampering fines. They might have jumped the gun on getting Jalen Brunson a little bit. But hey, they got their guy, right? They got a guard, well, that's not really a true point guard. And also can't really shoot enough to be a true shooting guard. But they got a guy who they believe is going to be the cure for their 40-year woes. Well done, New York Knicks. I guess. I have a feeling you're going to be disappointed as usual. But we're seeing a lot of movement in free agency. Hey, teams are spending big money. Phoenix Suns star Devin Booker agreed to a 4-year, $224 million Supermax extension. Memphis Grizzlies star Ja Morant agreed to terms on a 4-year rookie extension worth $226 million. My hometown Denver Nuggets signed Nikola Jokic to the richest contract in NBA history. 5 years, $264 million on his Supermax extension. The Minnesota Timberwolves signed Karl Anthony Towns to a 4-year, $224 million Supermax extension, and Zion Williamson agreed to a 5-year, $193 million maximum rookie extension with the New Orleans Pelicans, which, if you do the math, I think that basically comes out to like a dollar a pound, something in that vicinity. Now, will any of these deals truly be worth it? Maybe a couple of them, but probably not. But I mean, you have to try, right? You got to wrap up your guy. You got to keep your guy. We know right now in the NBA, so many stars are trying to dictate their terms. They're going to leave. I'm going to get out. I'm going to go do something else. If you can sign him, you sign him, right? Meanwhile, Kevin Durant says he wants to leave Brooklyn. He says, I might leave. Looking at my options. Going to see what else is out there. Meanwhile, Kyrie Irving has opted to stay in Brooklyn, but then they say he could also be moved. I have to tell you, I feel like this is a lot of posturing by both of those guys. I think they both end up staying in Brooklyn. James Harden and Bradley Beal did both opt out, and they can go wherever they want to now. Although they both have very finite skill sets that I think you have to find the exact right spot for them. And then we have the Minnesota Timberwolves, who made what looks to me like a really, really dumb deal. Get this. The Timberwolves send Malik Beasley, Patrick Beverley, Walker Kessler, Jared Vanderbilt, and Leandro Bomaro to the Utah Jazz for big man Rudy Gobert. Okay, well, those are what, five players that, you know, kind of role players, backup players, maybe not even make the team kind of players. I get it. That's not all. Utah will also get unprotected first-round picks from the Timberwolves in 2023, 2025, and 2027, and a top-five protected pick in 2029. Not sure how to say this, but Minnesota, you got fleeced. Is that the best way to say it? Yeah, I think it is. You get a big man that is on the backside of his career, that brings nothing to the table offensively, and you're going to try to play him on the floor at the same time as Karl Anthony Towns, the guy you just gave that big extension to. Now, I'm just a dumb hick from Broomfield, Colorado. But I can tell you this. People are going to try to space you out and make those two bigs chase little guards all over the place. And I can't see how it works at all. I think that's a horrible, horrible deal for Minnesota. Let's see, what else have we seen so far in NBA free agency? Oh yeah, the Golden State Warriors lost Gary Payton II, which I think could be significant. Yes, they will still be the favorites, but I think that's bigger than people are letting on. And we also have the Boston Celtics. You remember Boston, the Eastern Conference champions? Well, they went out and they made a couple deals. They grabbed point guard Malcolm Brogdon and forward Danilo Gallinari. Now, I want you to think about that. Boston was already pretty good. And now you've got Brogdon, a true playmaking point guard who can actually dribble, which we all saw in the finals. The Celtics cannot actually do as a team. That's a big upgrade. And you've got Gallinari, who is a big guy that can also shoot from distance. Hey, I'm just going to say it. If Malcolm Brogdon and Danilo Gallinari are both healthy, that is a serious upgrade for Boston. Wait a sec. What am I saying? What am I talking about? Malcolm Brogdon and Danilo Gallinari, if both of them are healthy? That's like saying, if Greg Oden was healthy. That's like saying, if Donald Trump is quiet. That's like saying, if Joe Biden knew where he was. These two are never healthy. They're never, ever healthy. NBA free agency so far has been a little bit wild. We will see where everyone ends up. But my guess is a lot of people are going to stay where they are because those teams do have the money to keep them. Let's move over to college sports, where we have had some big, big movement. It was announced that USC and UCLA are planning to join the Big Ten as early as 2024. This is a huge move. Remember, it was less than a year ago that Oklahoma and Texas announced they would be leaving the Big 12 and joining the SEC. Kids, I know that we keep saying that the world of college sports is evolving. We are going to have super conferences. We are going to see them break off from the NCAA and basically be a minor league for the pros. Kids, this is that. That's what we're seeing. We are witnessing it happen before our very eyes. Hey, I think we are headed towards two, maybe three super conferences, where at least in college football, maybe you have like an East and a West, and you take the top four, the top six, the top 18 on both sides, and then you play it off together. Here's the question that I have as all of this takes place. One, where is the NCAA in any of this? Oh yeah, that's right. They don't have any teeth. They don't have any say in anything. They're literally sitting and watching like the rest of us are. If you're wondering, is the NCAA ever going to do anything? No, they're not. Because if they were, they'd be doing it now. They're not saying anything. But I do have some other questions. What happens to the teams that aren't elite? What happens to the rest of the Pac-12? There are already rumors that they're going to be absorbed into the Big 12. I mean, I would think Oregon would be coveted. I would think Utah probably too. But what about like a Cal Berkeley? What about a Colorado or a Washington State? I mean, they're not going to be all that coveted. What do you do with schools like that? What about smaller conferences? Do they just go away? Or will they be banished to playing at a different level and it's kind of a, well, yeah, they're D1, but they're kind of D1, double A. Is it going to be that kind of thing? What about a school like Notre Dame? You know people are going to want them. But we also know you're going to have to join a conference here soon or you're going to pay a big price. I think it's just a matter of which conference that Notre Dame will join. And I know the first reaction is, well, they'll join the ACC. They'll join the Big Ten. I mean, could they join the SEC? What about the schools that are in the big conferences but are never good, like we talked about Cal, Washington State, Colorado, schools like that. But what do you do with like the Vanderbilts, who's in the SEC, but we know they're not really a player. What about Rutgers or Northwestern in the Big Ten? Again, you're in that big conference, but you're not really a primetime player. Do you get grandfathered in? Or as this realignment all goes, will we see them get booted out and a bigger, more coveted school gets brought in? Who's going to get some of those spots? My guess is that we may eventually get down to like 40 or 50 teams total that are truly at that upper elite level and can actually compete for titles. And if that is the case, I think that's where this is headed. Which ones would make it? Like which schools actually get to be in that top 40 or 50? Because when you think about that now, there's way more schools out there right now than 40 or 50. It's going to be very, very interesting. Hey, more dominoes are going to be falling in this crazy process. It's going to be extremely interesting to see which dominoes fall next. Okay, right now, I am still not quite 100%, but never fear. We are going to be talking a little about the 4th of July in general, and we are going to be counting down the top 5 greatest American athletes ever. So let's go ahead and jump into that right now. First off, how was your July 4th? Did you enjoy your 4th of July? We had the long weekend this last week, and hopefully your boss was kind enough to give you either the Friday or the Monday or something. I know there are a number of bosses that were like, hey, we got them here for free. Let's make them work for free. A number of them did that, but you might have gotten the long weekend. Did you enjoy your July 4th? I feel like July 4th, and I am a person that, obviously I love this country and the freedom that we have and the things that we have in this country. But doesn't it kind of feel like July 4th is one of the more redneckier holidays we have going? I'm going to go out and
grill up some vittles, fire off some fireworks.
Here's my question for you. Do you still have all of your digits? If so, you are doing better than New York Giants defensive end Jason Pierre-Paul, who could be permanently saying we're number three all the time after apparently he had a fireworks mishap. There is some investigation, could be some criminal investigation, depending where they are at and if those fireworks were legal, where he was shooting those off, but apparently he had one go off in his hand. You know, I started to think over this weekend. I was talking to a friend. We started to talk a little bit about over the weekend, and you know, maybe we need to count down some great American players for our nation's celebration of independence, which we had over the weekend. And so, for our first top five today, let's count down the Daily Dose top five greatest American athletes. Now, to be on this list, because there's a number of people we could put on a list like this, to be on this list, you gotta play more than one sport. I can't just look at a sport and say, okay, Wayne Gretzky, phenomenal athlete. When you look at the numbers and what he did in ice hockey, it is absolutely amazing. Do you realize, let me just throw a stat out for you. Do you realize that if Wayne Gretzky never scored a goal, he would still be the leader in points in history in the NHL? If he had never scored a goal because of how many assists he had, he outscored everyone. His goals were just, you know, icing on that huge cake. But I don't know if he can even run. I have no idea if Wayne Gretzky can run down the field. I would guess that he can. I think that he can. He's really good on skates. I know that. But I don't have any idea if he's an athlete at all. I wanted to count down the top five greatest American athletes. No, I'm not going overseas. I'm not going to say, oh yeah, this guy played soccer and cricket. The greatest soccer and cricket player. No, we're staying this American. In honor of the 4th of July, here are the Daily Dose top five greatest American athletes. Number five, and I'll tell you what, this guy could be a lot higher. Number five, Dave Winfield. You know, he was drafted by four different professional teams in three different sports. Winfield went to Minnesota. He went to the University of Minnesota on a baseball scholarship. While there, he played baseball and basketball. And Minnesota, in fact, won a Big Ten basketball championship. Minnesota won a Big Ten basketball championship. Not gymnastics. Not baseball. They won in basketball. That hasn't been done in a while. When he came out, he was drafted in the NBA by the Atlanta Hawks. He was drafted in the ABA by the Utah Stars. He was drafted in Major League Baseball by the San Diego Padres. And the Minnesota Vikings thought, you know what? If he decides to play football, we would take him too. Winfield goes on to be a 12-time All-Star in Major League Baseball, World Series champion, hit over 3,000 hits, and have 465 home runs. Pretty amazing athlete. Dave Winfield was. Moving on to number four. And when you hear number four, you might sit there and go, well, I know he's a popular guy. I know the name. I know what he did because he's remembered for being the guy to break the Major League Baseball color barrier. But you might not know that Jackie Robinson, while at UCLA, became the first player to letter in four different sports in 1 year. Jackie Robinson lettered in baseball, basketball, football, and track. Did you know that he won the 1940 NCAA Track and Field Championships in the long jump, jumping 24 feet and 10 and 1/4 inches? And the funny thing is, Jackie Robinson always said baseball was his worst sport. He was better at the other sports. He was selected to the college all-star games in both basketball and football. He went on, of course, to play professional baseball, 6-time All-Star, All-Century team, and of course he did break the color barrier and how important he was. Jackie Robinson was a pretty amazing, amazing athlete. Let's move forward to number three. And number three, when you hear this guy, you're going to say, well, of course, Jim Brown was one of the greatest football players of all time. Jim Brown is one of the greatest football players ever. I mean, he retires from the NFL. He only played 9 seasons. Jim Brown only played in 9 seasons. And when he retired, he was the NFL's all-time leading rusher. Over 12,000 yards. 126 touchdowns scored. He averaged in his career, not for one game, he averaged 5.2 yards per carry for his career. And I realized, I look back and I watch Jim Brown and I have respect for what he did on the football field. But it does kind of strike me at times that when I'm watching him, it seems like he's going against a lot of like 5'8" white guys. I'll throw that out there. I'm not ashamed to admit I've seen that. But what he did in the NFL is pretty amazing. 9 seasons. 9 times elected to the Pro Bowl. 8 times first team all pro. But here's the thing. You might not know this. Did you know that Jim Brown is considered by many to be the greatest lacrosse player ever? Ever? You know, he was actually on scholarship at Syracuse University. He was actually on scholarship as a lacrosse player. He decided to walk on for football. And while playing lacrosse at Syracuse, he led them to an undefeated season in 1957 and led the nation in scoring. Jim Brown's a pretty good lacrosse player. Really good. Number 3 on our list, Jim Brown, greatest American athlete. Number 2 on our list, and there's a lot of people that are going to say this guy might be the greatest. This guy might be the greatest American athlete of all time. He won the gold medal at the 1912 Olympics in the pentathlon and the decathlon. He played professional football. Played for the Canton Bulldogs. He played some sort of professional basketball. He played professional baseball with the New York Giants. And you might not know this, he was actually the NFL's first commissioner. They called it president at that time, but he was the NFL's first commissioner. Jim Thorpe was an amazing, amazing athlete. And the racism and the things that he went through when he was playing, winning the Olympics, he actually had his Olympic medals taken from him because they decided that he had been paid prior to the Olympics and they pulled that away. Jim Thorpe was an absolutely amazing athlete though and could do it anywhere. To play professionally, 3 different sports. And he won 2 gold medals. Pretty amazing. Jim Thorpe, number 2. But I had to put number 1. Number 1. And this is number 1 for me. I realize a lot of people might disagree with this. But when you look at the film and you stack this up, and some of the people going back, oh, Jim Thorpe was better. Oh, Jim Brown was better. I've never seen as good of an athlete. When I say athlete, I mean 6'1", 230 pounds and ran like a wide receiver. I have never seen an athlete like Bo Jackson. He could run through you. He could run past you. And he did it often. The biggest problem with Bo Jackson was that he had the shortened career because of the injury. He had that hip injury. He was recruited out of high school. Bo Jackson was being recruited by the New York Yankees to play baseball. But he decided he was going to go to college. And I believe that was something on his mother's side. His mom had said she wanted to go to college. He attends Auburn. Goes to Auburn. Is the MVP of their football team. Actually somehow gets Auburn to the Sugar Bowl. And they win the Sugar Bowl. Had them competing, which at the time, back in the 80s, Auburn wasn't doing real well without him. You might not know that Bo Jackson qualified for the U.S. Olympic team in track and field. But then he decided in 86 to go pro in baseball. And he went to the Kansas City Royals. Was the 89 All-Star Game MVP. Had 4 different seasons of 20-plus home runs. And he kind of started to think about maybe I should play some professional football. But he was kind of trying to decide where do I go. And he hadn't ever declared for the draft or anything. I think the Buccaneers had drafted him back when he was just coming out of high school. But he had never gone and played. And so he was kind of basically a free agent. There were teams that were recruiting him. There were professional football teams that were saying, hey, come play with us. In fact, there is a story. I don't know if it's true, but there is a story that Dallas Cowboys owner Tex Schramm at the time brought Bo Jackson down for a visit down to Dallas. And he brought him into the huge Texas stadium. They walked out on the field looking up. You know how Texas Stadium is built. Got the hole. You can see the sky and everything through the hole.
And he walked around. They looked around at the stadium. No one was in it. And he points to Bo and he says, Bo, if you come to Dallas, you will own this stadium. And Bo Jackson said, why would I want a stadium with a hole in the roof? You know, he had his career cut short. He ended up going to the Raiders. He signed with the Oakland Raiders in 87. And he played just four seasons. He played in just 38 games. He had that just kind of a strange injury to his hip. He actually had a bit of a risk of losing his leg because of the way the injury went through his leg. He had that artery kind of tear in there. Never was the same after that. But I just want to throw out some stats to you. In such a short amount of time, in just 38 games, 2,782 yards, 16 touchdowns. He had, in that short career, he had a 92-yard touchdown, a 91-yard touchdown, and an 88-yard touchdown. He had an average of 5.4 yards per carry. And maybe the reason that I look at Bo Jackson, I saw what he did. He did it on the national stage. We all remember the Seattle game, or you might have seen highlights of the Seattle game on Monday night when it was kind of Bo's coming out party as he just, you know, runs over Bosworth, runs through the Seahawks, runs up into the tunnel. But I saw him play against Denver a few times. I saw him play my beloved Broncos a few times. Against the Broncos, he was 3-1. He beat the Broncos three times out of the four that he played him. In those games, he had 54 carries for 308 yards and 5 touchdowns. Do you see why he made an imprint on me? You could look up, when you look up and you see highlights, like if you YouTube Bo Jackson, just notice how many times he runs over our safety, Mike Harden. Like every single highlight of Bo Jackson is him running over Denver Broncos safety, Mike Harden. He made a living just doing that. Bo Jackson was the greatest American athlete that I personally have ever seen. Okay, coming back. We still have a few more lists for our American podcast today that we have going. Back in 2020, we actually created a few Mount Rushmores. Of course, up in South Dakota, we have Mount Rushmore, where four of the greatest U.S. presidents of all time have been carved into the granite up there. We have George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, and Theodore Roosevelt. And while I realize that the woke in this country will be asking for that monument to be torn down at literally any second, we actually created a few Mount Rushmores for boxing. We created one for the greatest Major League Baseball players ever. And we created a Mount Rushmore for the greatest college basketball coaches of all time. Who will be making those lists? We'll find out when we get back. So Saturday is the 4th of July, which actually is a national holiday here in the United States. We commemorate our Declaration of Independence that was signed on July 4th back in 1776. The Continental Congress declared that the 13 American colonies were no longer subject to the monarch of Britain, King George III, and we were now united, free, and independent states on our own. So now, July 4th is a day of celebration for us here in the United States of America. And we celebrate every single year with barbecues and get-togethers and cookouts, and we blow things up like a lot of explosions take place on July 4th here. Now, if you're not from the United States, you might hear that and think, well, that's just normal. That's how America rolls. They just blow things up. And that's just at our schools alone, or, I don't know, at protests alone. But this is actually a little bit different because, you know, it's a lot of fireworks. It's a lot of celebration about our independence. And it's a lot of drunk people with explosives. But today, in honor of Independence Day, you know, I was thinking about like national monuments, and I thought of the Mount Rushmore Memorial, which is a sculpture carved into the granite face of Mount Rushmore in the Black Hills in Keystone, South Dakota. Now, the sculpture, Mount Rushmore, it actually features 60-foot tall heads of former presidents. We have President George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Theodore Roosevelt, and Abraham Lincoln. Now, those four presidents were chosen to represent the nation's birth, growth, development, and preservation. Now, I realize that all of the woke movement going on, they're probably trying to blow up Mount Rushmore at literally any second. But I was thinking that maybe today we would create a few Mount Rushmores of our own, but we would create them in the sports world. And I'll show you exactly what I mean. And we're going to start in a sport that we don't always talk a lot about, but it has a ton of historical sports significance. Let's start in the world of boxing. Because if we were to name the greatest fighters in the history of boxing, we get four faces to carve into our Mount Rushmore for boxing. Who would we carve into stone? And it's actually not quite as easy as it might sound. Now, I'm going to start with our first guy. And I'm going to start with a guy that I believe is the greatest fighter in the history of boxing. I don't care the weight, pound for pound, I am talking about the greatest fighter of all time. And no, I'm not talking about Floyd Mayweather. You actually have to fight, you know, real fighters. You've got to fight them in their primes. You can't just go out and fight handpicked guys that aren't really at their best. Well, this guy fought 40 professional fights before he ever lost one. And that loss was to Jake LaMotta, one of the greatest of all time. This guy would then go on to face LaMotta 5 times in his career. He beat him 4 times. And it was one of the greatest rivalries of all time in boxing. In all, Sugar Ray Robinson went 175-19-6. He had 109 knockouts. Now, Ray Robinson was a welterweight and a middleweight champion. And from 43 to 51, Ray Robinson won 91 straight professional fights. In his career, he fought 18 world champions. Please, someone show me anyone else that has fought that much talent in his career and fought that many fights in his career. I believe Ray Robinson is the most complete fighter of all time. He had speed. He had power. He had defense. He had everything. Oh, and more than anything else, he beat everyone. And he fought great, great fighters. Ray Robinson is going up on our Mount Rushmore first. The next guy that is going up on our Mount Rushmore for boxing is the man that held the heavyweight boxing title longer than anyone. He held it, forget this, 11 years, 8 months, and 7 days, almost 12 years. He held the title. That's amazing. And he made more successful title defenses than anyone ever has. He had 25 title defenses. Joe Louis compiled a 68-3 record with 54 knockouts in his career. And I realize it might not be that popular for me to have him as the top heavyweight fighter of all time. But again, I got to look at some of the guys that he beat. Joe Louis beat Max Bauer. He beat Max Schmeling. Oh, that is such a brutal beating too. He beat Billy Kahn. He beat Jersey Joe Walcott. And he beat Ezra Charles. Those are all champions. Now, yes, he did lose to Rocky Marciano at the end of his career. But I mean, how old was Joe Louis by that time?
Joe Louis always lied about his age. He lied about his age all the time. One time, Frank Sinatra comes out here and sat down in this chair. And I said, Frank, you hang out with Joe Louis. Just between me and you, how old is Joe Louis? You know what Frank told me? He said, hey, Joe Louis 137 years old.
And you know, Joe Louis was also one of the first true crossover sports figures. He was loved by both minorities and by white fans. America loved Joe Louis. No question. Joe Louis is going on our Mount Rushmore. Our next guy up, and I hate to keep going back to previous eras. I really do. But I do actually think that you can make a really strong case that the fighters in the previous era, they were just better. And I understand they didn't have the training methods and maybe the diet methods and all the things that we have today. But you know what they did have? They were really, really insanely tough. Take this next guy, for instance, that I think has to go on our boxing Mount Rushmore. He is the only boxer in history to hold, not win. Let me separate that. Not win. He held 3 different world titles, all 3 different weights simultaneously.
What?
That doesn't even make sense. He had to bounce up and down in weight to hold these titles. But Henry Armstrong won the featherweight title back in October of 1937. Then he added the welterweight title in May of 1938. And then he became the lightweight champion in August of 1938 as well. He actually challenged for the middleweight title in 1940, but the fight was declared a draw. So champion Serafino Garcia actually retained the belt, even though Armstrong had fought him to a draw. But Hammerin' Hank, or Homicide Hank, he had a few different nicknames. He had kind of an unorthodox style. If you ever watch Henry Armstrong fight, he fought kind of crouched down forward, and he threw punches in bunches. I mean, he had really, really heavy hands for a small guy, and he kind of had this whirling, just hook and hook and hook. He looked like the Tasmanian devil fighting. But in his career, Henry Armstrong was 151 and 21 and 9. He knocked out 101 of his opponents. He beat 15 different champions in his career. So Henry Armstrong might not be the household name that some of these other guys are. But make no mistake, Henry Armstrong belongs on our Mount Rushmore of boxing. No question about that. We reached the final guy on our boxing Mount Rushmore, and I have to put a guy up there that might be more remembered for some of his things out of the ring, for some of his politics, for some of his causes, and understandably so. But here's the thing. Don't forget the talent that fighter Muhammad Ali was too. Now, I realize today, and especially right now, everyone wants to be Muhammad Ali. Everyone wants to be the guy that has the protest and the guy that stands for something. And I understand that. Muhammad Ali had his protest of the Vietnam War. Here's the thing that kind of gets lost. Muhammad Ali had so much talent. He had so much ability. You can't really emulate the abilities that the guy had. Forget the causes. Put him in the ring. He was one of the greatest fighters ever. His speed and his power were such a deadly combination because he was so incredibly fast for a heavyweight fighter. And remember, as great as he was, remember he did lose 3 years of his prime for refusing that induction into the armed forces. But he won heavyweight titles 3 different times. And in all, Muhammad Ali went 56-5 with 37 knockouts. And remember that his last 4 fights produced 3 of those losses. Because let's all be honest, Muhammad Ali was holding on way too long. If you take those 3 losses away, 56-2, that's very, very different. But he was fighting some pretty good fighters and he held on too long. But again, let's talk about some of the guys that he fought. He beat Sonny Liston. He beat George Foreman. He beat Joe Frazier 2 times. And he beat Ken Norton. Yeah, you couldn't have a Mount Rushmore of boxing without Muhammad Ali. So we have Ray Robinson. We have Joe Louis. We have Henry Armstrong. And we have Muhammad Ali on our boxing Mount Rushmore. Those are 4 very, very good fighters. If you wanted to represent that sport in a solid way, I think that's the way to go. Okay, since we are talking about the USA today, and Independence Day, and Mount Rushmore, and all of those things,
Rock Flag and Eagle!
Let's move over to America's pastime. And by America's pastime, I mean, well, America's pastime like 60 years ago, because baseball viewing numbers are dropping faster than our economy and our morale. But today, we want to build a Major League Baseball Mount Rushmore, and we are only going to put the best players in history on it. That's a pretty high task, but here we go. Now, maybe it's just me, but I'm going to put up a guy that might not be first on everyone else's mind, but I'm putting up Willie Mays first because Willie Mays, I believe, was the most complete player in the history of baseball. 660 home runs, over 3,000 hits, over 300 stolen bases, 12 Golden Gloves. He made every All-Star team from 54 until 73. That's 24 if you don't want to do the math. Hitting, speed, defense, power. Willie Mays had everything. He was a 4-time home run leader, a 4-time stolen base leader, and a National League batting champion. Oh, and by the way, he also missed 266 games because he was drafted into the military and he served in the Army. So he missed a lot of stats he could have had. Willie Mays is our first guy on Major League Baseball's Mount Rushmore, though. Next up is the guy that everyone else might have been thinking about, maybe the first guy on everyone else's list, and I'm okay with that. But his amazing stats are a little bit skewed, at least in my book. But make no mistake, this guy was an amazing player, and it wasn't just that he could hit. When he joined the majors back in 1914, the all-time record for home runs in a season was 27. Within 7 years, he had more than doubled it to 59, and he eventually produced a personal high 60 home runs in 1927. Altogether, he led the American League in home runs 12 times, and his 714 career home runs record lasted for decades. But Babe Ruth wasn't just a great hitter. He was actually also a really, really good pitcher. Do you realize that Babe Ruth won 94 games and he won over 20 games in a season two times with a career ERA of just 2.28? Now, here is my only knock on Babe Ruth. He did all of it against only white players, which does change things a little bit, at least in my mind, because you're probably not playing against the best of the best. But no question, Babe Ruth is in the conversation for best player of all time. I have to put him on the Mount Rushmore. Next up is the guy that broke Babe Ruth's record. And when you hear the name Henry, Hank, Aaron, you think of home runs, don't you? That's the first thing you think of. He broke Ruth's record of 714 home runs in his career by hitting 755 home runs. But there was way more to Henry Aaron's game than just home runs. Yes, his all-time best 2,297 runs batted in is amazing. His 6,856 total bases, again, amazing, indicative of how much power the guy had. But he also put up a solid career in other ways. Do you realize Hank Aaron had a 305 batting average for his career? Do you realize he won 3 gold gloves for his play in the outfield? And here's the thing about Hank Aaron. He was dealing with hate mail. He was dealing with death threats. He was dealing with media scrutiny about him breaking Ruth's legendary record. And Hank Aaron handled it with grace and dignity and strength and class. Hank Aaron, without a doubt, is on our Mount Rushmore. I'm going to put one final baseball player on our Mount Rushmore. And it's kind of fitting that we would place his head on the side of a mountain, because there is a rumor that his head is actually currently separate from his body and in a freezer somewhere. So it'll be a piece of cake to get him up there.
You're disgusting.
But Ted Williams belongs on our Mount Rushmore too. He might be the greatest pure hitter of all time. Ted Williams led the American League in batting average 6 times, slugging percentage 9 times, on base percentage 12 times. That's pretty amazing. He was also selected to the All-Star team 19 times, and he was a 2-time winner of the American League's MVP award. He also hit for the Triple Crown 2 times in his career. His lifetime on-base percentage of .482 is a record that's still standing. Oh, and by the way, Ted Williams was inducted into the Fishing Hall of Fame. He was apparently an excellent fly fisher, and he was a really, really good fighter pilot in World War II and in Korea. Ted Williams absolutely did it all, and he is going to join Willie Mays, Babe Ruth, and Hank Aaron on our Mount Rushmore. Let's change sports. Let's move over to basketball, and let's move to college basketball to be more specific. When we think of college hoops today, well, we mostly think of scandals, but we also think of one thing. We think of coaches. We don't know the players enough in this era to really think of players, so we think of coaches. Tom Izzo is at Michigan State. Bill Self is at Kansas. Rick Pitino, well, he might be at the strip bar. I don't know.
Oh, no, you didn't.
But you get what I'm saying. So for our Mount Rushmore of college basketball today, we are going to place 4 coaches on our monument. And there are so many good ones to choose from. We're going to do our best to pick 4. And let's start with the obvious choice. But let's keep one thing in mind. In this age of, well, our coach struggled in his first 3 to 5 years, so we went ahead and fired him and we got someone else. That's the era we live in now. Well, a couple guys on this list, they took a while to get going, and that was the case with this first guy. Believe it or not, John Wooden lost his first 5 postseason games at UCLA. Today, John Wooden might get fired. But then John Wooden rolled off 10 national titles in 12 years from 64 to 75, including 7 straight from 67 to 73. And his 1962 team finished 4th in the NCAA tournament. And his 74 team finished 3rd. John Wooden was a 6-time National Coach of the Year. He won 13 conference titles in his last 14 years, and he posted the nation's best record in back-to-back decades from the 60s to the 70s. And you know another stat that kind of gets lost with John Wooden? His teams excelled in close games. They were 162 in major college games that were decided by fewer than 6 points. Hey, that has to be some coaching. That's a guy who taught his kids how to produce when the pressure was on. John Wooden is a no-brainer. Next up is another guy that also started a little bit slow, and it was kind of looking like he might get fired. But then he grabbed a great recruiting class, and Mike Krzyzewski got the Duke basketball program in gear. Coach K has now led the Duke Blue Devils to 5 NCAA championships, 12 Final Fours, 15 ACC championships, and 12 ACC regular season titles. I mean, among college basketball coaches, only John Wooden has won more. Yes, we know Coach K was probably given Zion Williamson all kinds of illegal benefits, but hey, I mean, stones and glass houses, right? Coach K is definitely on our Mount Rushmore. Okay, we have some decisions to make with our second two coaches, though, because I'm going to go with a guy that actually learned at the knee of the inventor of basketball himself. I'm talking about Dr. James Naismith. When he started coaching at the University of Kansas, Dean Smith learned from Naismith. He actually also learned from Fog Allen at Kansas. And Dean Smith is the only coach to direct teams to the Final Four in 4 different decades. He made 11 Final Four appearances in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. He's a 3-time National Coach of the Year. He won 2 national championships. And you know, it's not just the measurables. Smith also had the reputation that he ran a spotless program. They did things the right way. And Dean Smith at North Carolina produced some really, really great people, great players, and a ton of coaches. I mean, you think of guys like Phil Ford and Hubert Davis and King Rice and some of the coaches that he produced. And yes, he also produced, you know, some really, really good basketball players. Dean Smith definitely has to go on our list. Okay, so we've got one slot left on our college basketball coach, Mount Rushmore. And this one's tough because there are a few guys that could go here, but we need to think about what's important, at least for my list. Because Bob Knight could easily go here. He has the resume. He has the wins. He has the titles. Of course, he's also a huge jerk. I could also go with like Adolph Rupp, but I think we all know he's only going to coach white guys. Either Claire B. or Henry Iba are very deserving. But I do think coming from that era might be a little bit tougher. They might struggle a little bit coming into this era. Jim Boeheim has won a ton of games. Ugh, I don't know if I can put a zone guy in there, though. I'm going to struggle with that personally. So sorry, I'm going to have to go with another modern guy. With a total of 885 wins to date, Roy Williams has taken his teams to 9 Final Fours in his careers at Kansas and North Carolina. He's the only coach in NCAA history to have led 2 different programs to at least 4 Final Fours each. And he's the only basketball coach in NCAA history to have 400 or more victories at 2 Division I schools. Roy Williams is also 4th all-time in the NCAA in wins among college basketball coaches, and he has won 3 national championships. And you know what else? I think he's pretty much just a good guy. I think we have our guy, and I think we have our college basketball coaches, Mount Rushmore. We've got John Wooden. We've got Coach K. We've got Dean Smith, and we've got Roy Williams. That's a pretty good group of coaches. Okay, coming back. We are going to go back to the year 2018, where we were celebrating the 4th of July, and we decided that we were going to find the perfect American athlete to kind of capture what being an American is all about. Who do we name the Daily Dose Captain America? We'll play that clip when we get back. You know, the United States of America is a funny place.
Rock flag and eagle!
And tomorrow, this nation is going to celebrate our independence by, you know, overeating and blowing things up, which you might be listening and say, is that really that different from what you just do on a typical Wednesday? No, it's not, but that's not the point. Tomorrow will just be a little bit more of that. Like I said, America's an interesting place. What would you expect from a country that was literally founded by people who didn't want to be told what to do? I mean, think about that. The founders of this country were rebels that didn't want to be taxed by people that they hadn't elected, so they threw all their tea into the harbor, and the rest, as they say, is history. But you know, I started thinking about people that kind of sum up the United States of America for me. And more specifically, I started thinking about athletes that kind of sum up the United States of America to me. And I came up with a few people that I think kind of capture the spirit of America. Here is a list of guys that I came up that kind of personify America, both the good and the bad. Now, I suppose we could start off our search with someone like Captain America himself, Roger Staubach, clean cut. He even served time in the Navy before his professional football career. Now, Staubach captures the spirit that a good portion of America wants to think we are. He did win a lot. Staubach won 75% of the games he played in. He did lose two Super Bowls, but he also won two Super Bowls. Now, here's my problem, though, with Staubach as our representation. His image is probably just a little too squeaky clean. Like, we like to think of ourselves that way here in America, but it's not entirely accurate. We're a little more complex, I guess is a nice way to say that. Honestly, we're a little more corrupt, a little more rude. You know, it's not all pretty is what I'm saying. Okay, so who is the guy that I very first thought of when I started making this list? Because I actually thought of someone very specific who captures what being an American is all about. Now, don't laugh when I say this, but here's who I thought of. Charles Barkley. He's loud. He's opinionated. Remember when Team USA had that original dream team and went to Barcelona back in 1992? Charles Barkley went to Spain. He just personified America, at least in basketball. Loud, brash, punching opponents in the chest.
How much do you know about Angola, the guy that you would be playing there? And
I don't know anything about Angola, but Angola's in trouble.
Oh, and also, by the way, he completely dominated those games. He was probably the MVP of the Dream Team. Plus, I mean, you know, he's kind of fat. He's a little nuts. He could totally be the guy. My only problem with making Charles Barkley our kind of new Captain America is the fact that he didn't ever win a title. Say what you will about America, we are a world power. We have won some titles. So sorry, Charles Barkley can't be the guy. Maybe, though, maybe the guy isn't even a guy. Maybe the new Captain America is a female. And we do need someone who has won a little bit. And when I think of someone who has won, I think of someone like Serena Williams, who is one of the most dominant athletes in any generation ever. I mean, Serena Williams holds the record for most Grand Slam wins by a tennis player in the open era. And you might not realize it, but she came from a pretty interesting background. Serena Williams was born in Saginaw, Michigan. She's the youngest of five daughters. Now, when the children were young, their family actually moved to Compton, California, where Williams started playing tennis at the age of three. Her father actually homeschooled Serena and her sister Venus. Then they both went on at the age of nine to attend tennis academy. You know what, though? It actually might feel like too much success. I mean, America has taken some losses. It can't all be wins. Sorry, Serena, you can't be our new Captain America. You know, I struggle with that same reason naming someone like, I don't know, Michael Jordan. Although I did consider him. When Jordan came out of North Carolina, Nike was struggling to stay ahead of Adidas. They were really struggling to stay ahead of Converse. Converse had Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Julius Irving, and Mark Aguirre already wearing their shoes. But Jordan wanted to see something progressive. Converse was kind of maxed out, so he went to Nike, which wasn't known at all in basketball. They were kind of a track shoe. And of course, Nike exploded with the Jordan brand.
Yo, Mars Blackman here with my main man, Michael Jordan. Yo, Mike, what makes you the best player in the universe? Is it the vicious dunks?
No, Mars.
Is it the haircut?
No, Mars.
Is it the shoes?
No, Mars.
Is it the extra long shorts?
No, Mars.
It's the shoes then, right?
Nah.
But again, financially, Michael Jordan's just too good. And even in his career, he never lost an NBA Finals. He never even went to a game seven. So even though we've seen some misses from Michael Jordan lately, like, you know, the Charlotte Hornets, the roasting of everyone at his infamous Hall of Fame acceptance speech, and whatever that Hitler mustache was that he tried to bring back, I think MJ still brings a little too much to the table. Michael Jordan has an estimated worth of $1 billion with a B dollars. I mean, America's good, but we're not that good. Okay, so who else could we make our new Captain America? We could make Patriot Tom Brady our new guy. I mean, he's had a bunch of success. He's the only NFL quarterback to win 5 Super Bowls, and he's also lost 3 times now too. He does have the cheating accusations. That's kind of good. One other point in his favor, he has that whole kissing his son on the mouth for way too long thing. So that kind of fits the Southern aspect, you know, of our culture. So when I'm looking at Tom Brady, he has a few things that make him a good candidate. But here's the problem that I have. He has a few things working against him. And mostly he has his bazillionaire model wife, Giselle. I mean, America doesn't have a rich partner. We certainly don't have a partner worth way more than us. And no, China doesn't count. That's not a partnership. That's a, we owe them money. Plus, Tom Brady has really, really good leadership in head coach Bill Belichick. Name the last time America had great leadership. What, Lincoln? So Brady has some help that I'm not sure the country we live in inherently has. Makes him kind of a bad choice in my book. I mean, how many times have we seen his teammates step up and win the game for him? Adam Vinatieri, Malcolm Butler, Dante Hightower, Pete Carroll. America hasn't had other countries coming to save our butts when we haven't looked so good. I mean, we're not France. Who else could we put up there? I'm trying to think of someone else that could be our new Captain America. Walter Payton? I think he's too wholesome. Lawrence Taylor? Yeah, he's not wholesome enough. And geez, that's saying something. Hope Solo? She has the violence part, but no one cares about soccer. Ty Cobb? Probably too racist. Mark McGuire? Too performance enhanced. Drew Brees? Too little. Shaquille O'Neal, too big. Cal Ripken Jr., too hard working. I'm telling you, it's tough. It's tough to come up with someone, but I think I've got someone. I think I have someone in mind, and it's not going to be popular. I'll tell you that right now. I've got a guy that just might fit everything. This guy was great. He was the best in the world for a number of years. He was talented. He was brash. He was cocky, and he was a lot tougher than he probably gets credit for. At the same time, he was also highly controversial. He was very, very divisive. He didn't like to be told what to do. He didn't want to just go along with the crowd, and it wasn't all good. It wasn't that he was just great and he was better than everyone else. He could be mean. He could be cruel. He was especially cruel to one specific opponent, and it even got a little bit weirdly racial. Yeah, that kind of works for this situation, doesn't it? Later in his career, he was getting by mostly on just his name, but he was still able to keep winning. For all of his flaws, he was still able to be better than most. You might know who I'm talking about, and this is who I am going to name our new Daily Dose Captain America.
Wait a second. Wait a second. A man has the right to change his name to whatever he wants to change it to. And if a man wants to be called Muhammad Ali, this is a free country, you should respect his wishes and call the man Muhammad Ali.
His mama named him Klee, I'm gonna call him Klee.
Mm-hmm, that's right, I say Klee.
Yes, we ended up naming Muhammad Ali our Daily Dose Captain America, and you know, it still seems like a good fit today. He was talented, he was tough, he was creative, he was controversial, he could get mean, and he kept fighting until way after his prime. But Ali does kind of capture what this goofy country of ours is like, doesn't he? Hey, I hope you all had a terrific July 4th wherever you may be. And if you are in America, remember, let's all be thankful for what we do have. Because remember, like I said, there is a line of people trying to get in. Let's be grateful for what it is that we have in this country. Hey, next week on The Dose, we are hoping to get back to a little bit more of a normal show franchise. I'm kind of healing up and getting better, so hopefully we are back to it. But either way, you know we're going to keep you up on all that is going on in the world of sports. So make sure you stop by The Daily Dose and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for going over to DailyDoseSports.com and checking out the new things going up there every week. But most of all, thank you so much for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.